From the Ghost Tactical Productions Studio, welcome to the Armed Citizen Podcast. And now your host, Trey Miller.
Welcome to the Armed Citizen Podcast. I am your host, Trey Miller, with Ghost Tactical Productions. And today is an interesting day. We woke up this morning feeling like, okay, we might have made some strides during the midterm elections on Tuesday, feeling pretty good about ourselves right now as a community. And then we wake up and we hear the tragic news. There has been another awful murder situation in Thousand Oaks, California. I already had this interview set up with Michael, and so it's just one of those things that's ironic that things happen the way they do, because part of the conversation that we're going to have with our guests today has to do with mental health, obviously. So we do want to welcome in our guest this week, and it's Michael Cedini, the president of Eagle Imports and the founder of Walk the Talk America. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. Yes, today's very interesting for us, right?
We are just talking about it off air, and it's one of those things where you think you have your normal day scheduled, and you've got a plan for what you're going to do, and you wake up first thing in the morning, and you see this, and you're like, my day's just getting ready to get crazy. And I'm sure you've been really nuts today.
Oh, yeah. You know, for me, I'm on the West Coast, so my office is in the East Coast. So, and a lot of my friends live on the East Coast. So there was texts all morning. You know, they usually start in at like 4:30 in the morning. You know, it's when people are getting up out there. But it definitely takes a change of what you're going to do. I had to cancel a couple plans today because I was talking to people on the phone. But
well, I want to thank you. Like I said, you know, thank you for taking the time out of your day to record this podcast, because it's going to mean a lot. I think it's going to be relevant, extremely relevant into what's happening lately. So especially today. For those of you out there that may not know Michael, like I said, is the president of Eagle Imports. Michael, why don't you kind of give some people some background of who you are and what you're doing?
Okay. President of Eagle Imports. Yes. I basically I'm like an un-gun guy, right? I grew up in Jersey, right. Grew up in San Francisco, but I had a family member or a couple family members that were involved in the shooting sports. So I'm third generation in the shooting sports. We basically have an importer. We find manufacturers outside the United States that aren't big enough to have their own manufacturing here or their own facilities. We handle their importing. One of them is Bursa from Argentina. The other one's Grand Power from Slovakia. Metro Arms for the Philippines, which is basically American Classic, MAC, SPS, which is a Spanish design gun, and Llama. And then we have our own homegrown Avidity Arms, which is a project I'm working on with Rob Pincus, getting into manufacturing herself, which we could do a whole nother show on that whole experience. But that's how I'm in the industry. That's who I am. It's how I make a living. And it's kind of what has brought me to where we are now with WTTA. I've been in the industry since I was in it a little after college, after 98. I was there for about a year off and on. And then I came back in 2006 full time. And then I took over as president of the company in 2009. So been out for a while.
So for like the last 9 years, you've been in the heart and the soul of the gun industry, whether it's importing, like you said, working with Rob. And I know Rob had hinted maybe last year that he was developing his design of a gun, and I guess it's coming to fruition, which will be, for those of us that are big Rob Pincus fans, that could be really interesting. Do you have a timeline as to when that might be available? Will it be ready for SHOT Show? Possibly?
Great. I've stopped telling people when this gun is coming. It's one of the reasons why I drink martinis all day. No, we want to make the best gun possible. We've self-funded this thing. Like I said, we could do a whole show on that. We are dangerously close to having our first 50 production guns that we want to send out for testing. But I feel like I just jinxed that by saying that aloud.
It won't go public. How about that?
No, so we're getting there. It's just when you don't have your own manufacturing plant and you try to piece it together with all different types of different companies that have machines, you're at the mercy of all those other companies and timelines, and then cash flow because you're self-funding it. And you know, when the industry takes a dive or is in a downturn, those are the things that affect release date for us.
What are some of the goals for Eagle Imports? Are you guys looking to expand the different manufacturers that you will be importing over the next couple of years?
You know, we always keep our eye out for something that the public would want. You know, the current brands right now are, I think, they're some of the most underrated brands. You know, it's like talking about your children, right?
Right.
You know, you're always going to say good things. But honestly, Bursa, Grand Power, and Metro Arms, between those three companies, they have a gun for everybody. They have a gun from the person who's just getting into shooting to the competition shooter. So basically, I think we still build upon those brands and the products that they bring out. And then, you know, the new things that are out there, like Grand Power has the Strybog. Bursa has the TPR, which is a redesign of one of their classic guns that their military and police use. There's a lot of things to build on, just staying with the core business of Eagle Imports, as opposed to keep expanding. But I do want to take the business vertical, and that's where, you know, having your own machine shop is part of it. You know, but then in life you get these little curveballs and these opportunities like WTTA, and so it's like, how many hours in the day do you have, right?
Well, it's
like,
kind of I don't want to get away from Eagle. We'll come back to Eagle, but since you mentioned WTTA, it's an organization that was started by you and maybe some others. It's called Walk the Talk America, and it's basically understanding the gun community, mental health, and other issues that go along with the community and our responsibility within the community. I saw an interview you did with Riley over in Concealed Carry, and you're talking about you met a woman at a restaurant or something, and it was kind of a chance meeting, and you said that's kind of how this started. Kind of maybe explain, going in a little bit detail as to that meeting, why and how the WTTA started.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, it's funny. I looked at the calendar after I got off that interview with Riley to just check to see when I was in New Orleans so I could get that exact night, because I throw out dates, but basically it was June 15th. So that shows you how far from just the idea light bulb going off in my head because of that lady and my national sales manager, Rafael Del Valle, making a comment to me. So that was the inspiration for it. But that's how far we've come since June 15th, which is pretty crazy.
And I saw that you guys are going to get a booth at SHOT Show.
Yes.
Yep. That's awesome. And for all of us that are going to be at SHOT Show, I can't wait. But that's big. That's a big step. That's also not just a step financially to get a booth at SHOT Show, but for exposure, that could be huge for you guys.
Yeah, I honestly, the NSSF has been great. The support they've given me on just basically the elevator pitch, it's amazing how much people, they want this, they want to stand behind it. And that's what I love about having this SHOT Show booth, because, you know, take away the financial part, and you're right, that's a big part, especially when you're dealing with SHOT Show. And no one can, I mean, it's impossible to get into SHOT Show right now. They're all booked. I mean, so there's a waiting list. So for them to donate that for us is huge, but it's also an amazing opportunity to bring Mental Health America. Actually, I have, this is history right here. You know, obviously you have listeners, they can't see it, but you know, I'm holding this contract right here between Mental Health America and Walk the Talk. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna have an opportunity to show Mental Health America who we are as an industry and who we are as people. And it's not their fault necessarily, because we can't expect everyone to understand everything, just like we need to learn about other industries and other people. They need to come and see us. I remember the first time I went to a gun show, and I realized, man, there's some really good people in this industry, and there's so much responsibility. And I think there's this, like, they're the boogeyman type thing that we get. It's not fair, but people do it to us, right? When you hear people saying the gun industry only cares about money and they cheer when there's tragedy. You know, that's what I found not to be true. So I can't wait.
I agree 100%. I think that one of our, we have several obviously in the community, but one of our biggest responsibilities in my eyes are to show everyday people that we are too everyday citizens. We are normal, law abiding, normal job having people that just happen to appreciate and exercise our right to keep and bear them, but we're not monsters. We're not crazy people out there trying to do you harm. We are not irresponsible. Most gun owners are one of the most responsible people you're ever going to meet. And I come across people that will sit there and say, I've known you for years. Have you, you know, you've been a gun guy? Yeah. You know, so that's a good thing. You know, do you think differently of me now because I carry a gun every day than you did 3 years ago? If you do, then maybe I don't have the problem, you know. But how does someone, and I love the fact that you're a self-proclaimed un-gun gun guy. I love that line. But, you know, how does someone who is an un-gun guy get into not only Eagle Imports, but then all of a sudden take that to the highest step and say, I want to start an organization to help the community out on a track that a lot of people may not be talking about a whole lot?
Well, first of all, let me tell you something. I can't steal the credit for calling myself an un-gun gun guy. That comes from my friend Armando Garcia, who's a huge gun guy, local in Vegas. One day he was like, dude, you are the most un-gun gun guy.
That's a great line. It's a great line. That's going to be on your business card.
I know. I probably should look into doing something with that. But, you know, how it goes about, I guess, is that growing up the way I did, growing up in Jersey and growing up in San Francisco, growing up with a single mom, growing up in so many different multicultural neighborhoods, I would say liberal neighborhoods, to be honest, but always having my family who accepted everybody but was in the industry. So I was brought into the industry and I would help them out at shows and stuff like that. And it's kind of just like my whole life. I learned that I could have a lot of differences in the things I like, right? Like, I could sit there as a city boy and was like, I don't like hunting. I don't want to go hunting. I don't want to sit out there. It's cold. I'll meet you at the bar. You know what I mean? And then like the people in the industry were always kind of like, oh, that's fine, man. You don't have to go out there and sit out there. So what I learned is like, you start to realize that we're not that different. We all might have these like little things that change us a little bit, but it's like playing on a football team or being a part of a squad or, you know, a platoon or something like that. You all come together for a specific goal, right? And I think what we do is it's for actually humanity. I think most humans are good humans by nature. They don't want people to die. They don't want people to be hurt, you know, and that's the one thing we can agree on. So I always had this walk this line. I had two completely different groups of friends and I would always put them together, right? Like I'd have my super liberal friends and then I have the gun people. And it was amazing how like you have some beers and they start asking questions because there's a safe space. Everybody gets along. And I kind of applied that same logic throughout the gun industry and also walking through to the other side, right? So like if I was sitting around a table full of a bunch of my liberal friends, I found that I could have these discussions and I would be like, well, that's not right. And I'll tell you why. And then I would explain something and you kind of massage it and then say something and then you get into discussion as long as you can keep emotion out of it. It's the concept that I got to with Walk the Talk America, right? Because I was like, everybody that I know in the industry, we always say it's mental health. And we were guilty of many times going, it's a crazy person with a gun. It's a crazy person with a gun. And I didn't know how to put this together in my head. I knew when they said that, they didn't mean like, screw crazy people. So my thought process was, We want to help. We want to do something, but we couldn't, you know, what are we supposed to do? Like we're already the defensive. We're being attacked for, you know, making guns and protecting our families, right? Like those are things that we do. We know we do and the reason why we do it. Then I realized after reading like a position paper by the MHA, they didn't take a stance on guns because they didn't like the stigma. And I was like, it kind of clicked in my head. I'm like, oh my God, that's probably why we haven't been working together. They hear us say crazy with a gun, it's a lunatic with a gun, and they're like, why did you just do that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't talk to these people. So then I was like, what if I reached out and I was like, listen, all of us that have been saying that, we can change our language and we can help, right? And you can help us because you're the professionals. We don't know how to fix these problems, but they have a better beat on it than we do, right? Because they understand mental health and they understand the importance of language and all that stuff. And what we understand is we want to make a change and we're compassionate and we have there's a lot of military and you know this, right? I'm preaching to the choir here. So it resonated to me. It was kind of like, let's just get together. Let's cut the crap. Let's stop playing identity politics. Let's leave that all at the door, right? And move forward and figure out solutions. And, you know, mental health, the industry always says like, you know, everything's been cut, you know, everyone's cutting funding. Well, I know our side is willing to fund things as long as that it stays away from taking our rights away, but also goes towards trying to get upstream to prevent the unpredictable and mitigate trauma and suicide, right? Those are the two things we want to do.
I think it's interesting because in the political rhetoric, especially when it comes down to something like that happened last night / this morning, you know, the immediate thing is the gun. It's the gun. I think on their side, they're going to try to posterize the gun as the enemy. On our side, like you said, a lot of times our first reaction is crazy guy, you know, all of that. And so we automatically have different opinions and we're always just yelling back and forth. And the bickering back and forth doesn't help from either side. So I think what you're trying to do is saying, hey, let's put down our differences. Let's find something common that we both agree with, the mental health side of things. And let's try to figure out a way to make us safer in America. Like you said, while not taking away our rights, but let's understand that there are people out there that are in need and need help. In your experience, does PTSD seem to be one of those things where soldiers or Marines or sailors or airmen feel like there may be less of a person to ask for help? Is it simply as something as easy as asking for help?
I think it's harder for soldiers to even ask for help. See, I think PTSD, the one thing I like this morning when I woke up and I heard a Marine with PTSD, mm-hmm. my first reaction was, damn it. Now, like, the Marines are going to get stuck with PTSD as the only people that suffer from PTSD, and that PTSD is now linked to a Marine who's violent, right? Like, you see what I'm saying? Where my head goes, it goes like, oh man, like the way they're phrasing this. And I know, like, it's news, so they only have a short amount of time, right? Like, you got to do real fast bullet point stuff. But PTSD, first of all, is anyone can have PTSD. You could be a kid in Oakland, California, or Detroit. So PTSD shouldn't just be labeled as something that happens to our military. Now, why it happens to our military and our servicemen is because, let's face it, they see really bad stuff. Now, where I find it more difficult for the soldiers that come home, what I'd say than the average person is, you have something to lose when you come home, right? You have your gun rights, your clearance, basically a scarlet A that they put on your chest if you come out and say, I'm not feeling so good up here. Like, this is not healthy. You know,
you could lose your career.
Yes. Yeah.
Everything.
Everything. You know, and that's, I can't imagine what that's like. I can't imagine, you know, being the city boy, right, who grew up with liberals, I can't imagine. And this is from my heart. I can't imagine going to Afghanistan. My best friend, he's a Marine. He was a fighter pilot. I mean, he would tell me about the missions they would do. I can't imagine coming home and everyone's just like, okay, off switch. You're supposed to be a badass and you're a killer. Like, that's what we sent you over there to get things accomplished. And now off switch, you know, you haven't dealt with what you've seen, right? And as we know, like, people freak out when they see their dog get hit by a car, right? Like, that's something that could be very traumatic to someone. Now, what is it like when you're holding your friend's brains in your hands and you're trying to put them back in? Or, you know, I mean, I don't mean to be so graphic, but that's what happens.
It's reality, you know,
it's reality. And I know for a fact, and if you go to the WTTA website, I spoke at something at Denver Gun Days, and I went there as kind of the so-called mental health expert, even though I caution people I'm not the expert. I was trying to get something accomplished here. And there was a soldier, an active duty soldier, a special ops guy that stood up, and you know, he gave this amazing speech, and nobody was filming this thing, but he did come circle back around and said, look, if as long as you let me stay anonymous, I'll put a pen to paper. So you can go to our website, and along the top of the WTTA.org, you could read his story. And it goes to everything that we were just talking about, right? He doesn't even know who to trust. He doesn't even know if he can trust his own government when it comes to coming out and talking about what's going on. Just because of the labels and the stigma and what he has to lose if somebody makes a judgment call that's not fair, right?
Well, I mean, I think going on into what the WTTA's purpose is, I think it's remarkable. Like you said, you're trying to bring the mental illness side of not just the gun community. Let's be real about it. It's called Walk the Talk America, not just talking about the gun community, but bringing awareness to the mental health issue. You know, what's the end game for the WTTA?
That's such a broad question, and I love it because there's so many different layers to it. I think that the ultimate end game, and this is maybe a pipe dream, because a lot of times people try to remind me that I'm looking into a tidal wave. But, you know, when you get in your car, or at least for me, like my daughters and all their friends, I never have to tell them to put on their seatbelts, right? Like that's it's crazy. Like, and there's nobody that can really take credit for that. Like, I can't think of, like, there's somebody that did that. It's just like second nature. They throw on their seatbelt and that's what it is. The end game for me, ultimately, which would be my dream, is that we literally treat mental health and mental illnesses as common as we do like stomach viruses and broken arms. I want to create a society where it's like, you don't have to hide that stuff and you don't have to wait till it's too late and then you're in crisis mode, right? And something happens like last night.
You know, I love how you use the analogy of the scarlet letter, you know, putting that label on someone. And I think that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens with mental illness right now, is because maybe it's misunderstood by most people, or at least by the media, you know, but I think it's so misunderstood as to, you know, what someone that has some kind of mental illness is. For me, it's a lot to be said about someone that's just going through stress, because, you know, stress in itself, everyone has it. So if you've been in a stressful situation, multiply that by X amount and imagine what that person feels on a daily basis. So there needs to be compassion for the people that are suffering. How involved would the organization like to be in maybe combating some of these red flag laws?
So we're against red flag laws, right? Sure. And I get that. I get, because that can be used in a bad way. You know, I pull no punches. I've discussed this before, so I'm not talking out of school. I was married and have parents with a woman who suffers from severe mental illness. The mental illness, it's never been diagnosed, but it got progressively worse. Whatever it is, we've never been able to figure that out. But this is someone that I was with for 13 years, and I was falsely accused of things during our divorce and our custody battle that it makes me understand why people are afraid of red flag laws, right? Because if you've never been there,
yeah,
you don't understand it. But I do understand why some people would want the red flag law, right? I do understand why some people would say, my dad's not doing so good. Somebody needs to take his guns. You don't understand. I can't take the guns from him. I can't talk to him about it. He's going to hate me. There's a number of reasons why people are afraid to do that. And they also don't, maybe he doesn't want his dad to lose his rights forever, right? Maybe he wants his dad to get help. This morning, I to be honest with you, I thought about the red flag laws, and I thought about if someone, you know, we had a mental health professional show up to this gentleman's door from what I've been reading.
In April, wasn't there something like that?
Yeah. And he passed, which that leads to another subject, right?
I mean, right.
Well, it's like, what's the criteria? But see, this is awesome. We need like 12 people to have this conversation right now.
Exactly.
And around having a sensible matter. We want to do what's best for gun owners, for people that suffer from any type of mental illness. And that's one of the reasons why I'm excited to kind of get with the MHA on this, because these are some of the discussions we need to have. One of the things that Rob Pincus have been discussing with the MHA is creating safe spaces for people that are suffering from something. Not everybody has a friend or a brother or whatever that will say, hey, listen, why don't you let me take your guns, right? And in some states, if you say, let me take your guns, you could be committing a felony. And you're breaking the law. But we are developing a range program. We hope to have 100 range programs within the next year that are part of it, that work hand in hand with us and the MHA, that create a safe space where you can go and say, I'm not doing so hot, or, you know, these are my dad's guns. We just want to turn them in for a little while, and we will help you store and keep them until whatever it is needs to be fixed. And it's a place where you won't get branded with that scarlet A, right? Like, that's important. Safe space is important. I think it's important for our soldiers, right? Like, I think it's important for our military guys that come here or are active, because that's the type of feedback I've been having. Now, let's go back to your original question, the red flag laws. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the red flag
laws? I'll be quite honest with you. I think most gun people are going to be against red flag laws because I think that the whole societal issue of guilty until proven innocent and all there has to be is an accusation and you are guilty type thing is scary. And it's not just for gun owners. It's across the board of life. Is if you're going to be prosecuted by people just because of an accusation, that's harmful. I think I'll say this. I do think that there is a place for, and I'm going to be probably criticized by a lot of my peers and colleagues, but I do think there is a place for red flag laws. Not necessarily a law, but I think that having the ability, like you said, if you know someone is struggling with something, and I have a good friend of mine who's another YouTuber as well, and he has in his lifetime had to take a family member's guns from him because they felt he was unsafe. And some people will get them back and some people will not get them back. But I think the biggest important thing is for the gun community to put our best foot forward, we have to admit that there are some of us, and I say us, some of us that maybe shouldn't have guns at specific times in their life. So I'm all for getting treatment for someone, and maybe while they're going to treatment, we suspend maybe their rights to have the firearms because we don't want them to hurt themselves or someone else. But understanding if they get the treatment, let's make sure that if they're deemed okay and healthy, that they get their full rights back. But I do think there is a time and a place because the last thing we need is anyone hurting themselves. And this is not a gun thing at this point. This is a humanity thing. It's someone who needs help. And I think that we have to be able to decipher between gun guy and human being.
Yeah, and first off, Trey, if anyone ever gives you any crap about that, I'm right behind you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I've got enough friends. I don't need any more, so I really don't give a shit what anyone says. But our community can be very, very cruel to ourselves sometimes, It's kind of cliquish at times. And there are the people that shall not be infringed. Howl at the moon for my cold dead hands, and there are people that are maybe more reasonable like I am that understand that I don't agree with anything that's gun restriction, but we also have to understand that there are life matters here. It's not just a gun issue, it's a life issue. So
yeah, one of the things that I've always found interesting about our industry is sometimes the hypocrisy, right? So I've literally been sitting there and I've watched somebody freak out about a red flag law. And they're the first ones, too, when there's a tragedy. They're like, that guy should have never had guns.
Exactly. Well,
who's going to take those guns?
Exactly. Are you going to go take those guns?
Yeah. So I think what it is we need to be, and this is something that I'd love to work with the MHA on, and this is what I'm excited about for SHOT Show, because maybe it's guys like you that could come up and we can have these discussions about making sure there's proper due process after you've been flagged. You ever want to see like me run out of a situation is when people are acting stupid and about to get in a bar fight, because I'm like, I can't be involved. If I get one strike against me for doing something stupid, you know, I'm suspended. I'm out of the game. I can't be around firearms. And a lot of people don't realize that about our industry is that we really can't mess up. We're held to a different standard, because if you work at a shoe store and you decide to get in a silly little bar fight and it becomes assault, you could still go to work at the shoe store, right? Yeah. With us, it's a little bit different, but you know, back to the point of red flag laws, I think there are times when it's very necessary to go and take someone's guns away from them. I do understand that it is a delicate situation. And like you said, I think I'll take as much crap as you will for saying that, but last night was a perfect example of why we have to start having the discussion, and we can't be this take it from my cold dead hands guy. And we can't give up one little thing, it's going to be no. Let's stop pretending that there's this boogeyman that's going to take away all of our rights. You know, he doesn't exist. So like I said earlier, there's so many layers to this, right?
Yeah, there is.
We created the safe space, right? Those are for people that are in crisis, or we're creating the safe spaces. The range program is going to help people that are already in stage 4 or about to go into stage 4. My initiative and why I started this, and this is what makes me a little bit different from Rob, it's all connected, but I want to go, you know, I have the saying, and I stole it from Swanson, Dr. Jeffrey Swanson, one of the leaders, but it was get upstream to prevent the unpredictable, right? I heard him say that one time and I was like,
interesting.
Yeah, that's a really cool way of putting it. So my whole thing is I'm big on the outreach, and I want to start young. So one of our first initiatives that I'm super proud of is there is these mental health screenings that are on the MHA's website, and our partnership is going to allow us to put them onto the WTTA
website. Oh, nice. Okay, good.
Yeah. And people are like, well, you could just send them to the Mental Health America website. Well, I think there are people in our industry that are going to trust us, right? Because 100%. When people look at, yeah, they look at me, they look at Rob, we got a lot to lose, you know what I mean? So we're never going to put ourselves in jeopardy. I think that's one of the reasons why people open up to me when I speak at a public engagement, something, you know, to where they're just kind of like, he owns a gun company, he's not going to do anything that hurts himself or his family. Mm-hmm. So if he's telling me, be brave, stand up, tell your stories, this is, you're safe here. I think that's why some of the people share this stuff, right? But that one of the things I want to do is we've created these bands. And if you go to the WTTA Facebook and Instagram page, you can see them. WTTA.org/love. And what I want to do, and I've already got a couple of commitments from school districts, is to get them in the hands of these kids, right? Nice. So my thing is, it's an understanding about mental health, right? My daughters, when they look at their mother, my ex-wife, I constantly have to say, she's not bad, she's not evil, she's not a criminal. It's a mental health issue.
So, another question that I have is pertains to SHOT Show. Okay, what kind of plans do you guys have? Do you plan on having maybe a roundtable or a summit or anything like that?
God, you know, that's a great question.
Don't even know yet.
To all your listeners out there, I have a suggestion box called www.org. Dude, I am just, I didn't have this planned out. I only found out I was getting a SHOT Show booth like 2 weeks ago. That's an awesome idea. Like, maybe it is having a roundtable summit or some kind of deal where we get people together. I'm going to have two different organizations working my booth, MHA, Mental Health America, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to have someone named Richard Egan from the Nevada Coalition for Suicide Prevention there. Okay. The cool thing about Richard is that he is actually a so-called gun guy. He was in the military. He works in suicide prevention. He works in an office. I think there's four people for the whole state of Nevada. Well, I know there's only four people. I don't know how many are actually. I think it's only two in his office and two in an office in Reno. He'll flat out tell you, I work with people that are anti-gun, but we don't talk about it. We get along. We help each other understand. I'm going to have him there too. One of my things for Debbie Plotnick, the vice president of MHA, is I just want people to come up and tell their stories. You know, I think that would be awesome. Because let me give you an example of why, like, your idea for a roundtable discussion would be good. Rob, his big thing with the MHA was he wants them to say, a healthy fascination from a teenager with firearms is not wrong. It's not stigmatized. It shouldn't be wrong, right? MHA is struggling with that, right?
Right.
And I think, you know, in the Rob manner, he kind of was like holding their feet to the fire, saying, privately, you said that that's okay. You understood it. And they're like, well, it's not our job to come out and say it. Mm-hmm. And I'm more of the type of person that's like, you know what, Rob, let's just win this battle down the road, because they don't know, right? They don't know. This is what I want, because I had a follow-up call with her, and I was like, you know, there are 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds that competition shoot. And you got to understand that that's a healthy fascination with a firearm. And just because a kid plays a game that has a firearm, and it doesn't mean that it's a red flag automatically. Mm-hmm. But that's the type of stuff I think Debbie needs to hear. So when people come forward and, you know, tell their story or say, this is my daughter, this is my son, he's been shooting for this and this and that, and she understands that there are kids involved in our industry. You know, there's young shooters, there's all these people that know. I mean, I think she needs to be exposed more to just kind of how the the way of the gun is for a lot of folks in the industry and their children, right? I think people need to come forward when Debbie's at the show and they need to talk about their fears. I would love for soldiers, to come forward, and there's a bunch of them in our industry that suffer from PTSD, and they can explain to her exactly why they're afraid to come forward and exactly why it's wrong, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is a learning opportunity for both of us, right? Both industries. And the other cool thing is like on the flip side of it, I've volunteered myself, and Rob's volunteered his time to show up at speaking events for the MHA. On panels. We're going to one in December in, I think, Cincinnati. And I'm looking forward to that too. Keep in mind, they invited me to walk into one of their, I've told the story a million times, but, so I'm sure some people have said, oh, I've heard this one before. But when I reached out to the MHA, I threw the, and I call it the Jerry Maguire Hail Mary memo, right?
Gotta do it.
Yeah. I hit send, and I was told not to by Rob. He got pretty pissed off at me.
You're kidding.
It's really funny because Rob's like, "Don't send that. Just wait till we're a little bit more polished." And I was like, "Absolutely." And then I hung up. And it said, and then a couple of days pass, and I get this awesome response from the MHA, and I forgot that Rob told me not to send it. Yeah. So I took a screenshot of the email and I sent it to Rob, and Rob's first reaction was, "I thought we agreed you weren't going to send that email." And I was like, "It doesn't matter. It worked out.
We got lucky. We're in."
so basically, no, the MHA's response was, "Can you get on a plane and fly to LA to come to one of our legislation conferences?" And everyone always thinks, oh, they're just worried about guns. No, I mean, yeah, there's some pieces where, when it deals with red flag laws, they're trying to be involved, which is understandable. But for the most part, they just want to make sure that everyone's treated equally. And that's what I love about the MHA is there's a statement they put in basically their proposal that I think is just awesome. And I'll read it right now so everyone can hear it.
Yep.
MHA vigorously opposes efforts in the name of public safety to deny people rights or privileges or otherwise discriminate against people based on a mental health condition. Such efforts should be rejected as dangerously stigmatizing, making effective treatment more difficult, and as a violation of civil liberties and human rights of people with mental health conditions. And that applies to people with mental health conditions that have firearms and protect their family and like sports shooting or collecting.
The statement that was said that we don't believe anyone should be discriminated or their rights. And we're talking about their rights being infringed upon, whether it's their first, second, third, fourth, fifth amendment rights, any rights being infringed upon due to mental illness. And I think that, like you said, it's bigger than just the gun community.
I just texted you that so you have it.
Oh, perfect. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I can definitely put that in. But I do think it's awesome that, they are understanding that mental illness is not something, once again, we're going to go back to using the scarlet letter or to be vilified because of something that maybe they have zero control over. And it is treatable. I think that we've found that a lot of mental illness is treatable. And a lot of people don't think that. They think that you're either normal or you're evil. And there's a lot of gray area there that most people live in. I think all of us at some point has probably felt a little stressed out, overly stressed out. And that's that gray area of being normal and being evil that 99% of America or the world's probably going to live in at least once in their lives. The vast majority of people that have not experienced or been around someone that does experiences, it just doesn't affect that person. It affects everyone in their lives because every day's a new day for us. We don't know what's going to set them off. You're walking on eggshells sometimes, and you're just hoping to get through the day normally, trying to bring it to the light and bring it out to the public as much as you can and whatever means you can. And right now we're using the gun industry to help do that, and your context through the industry is wonderful. But I know that you guys are doing a lot of great work. I know that you could always use help. For everyone out there listening, what are some ways that the general public, should they want to or feel the need to help out or do something, how can they do that? How can they reach out to you guys? I know you can donate to the cause, but explain to people how they can help you guys out if they want to.
Well, we'll take help in any way we can get. And we look, money is going to drive this. But the cool thing about WTTA is the initial funding came from Eagle Imports and its manufacturers. I needed to do that for me. I needed to do that for the rest of the industry, too, to show people that I was putting my money where my mouth is. And I wasn't just doing talking points. So I needed these policies, circling back to what we were originally talking about. I needed these policies to be in place so I can go to the other companies, the gun companies, the accessory companies, and look them in the face and say, look, I started this. I paid for all this myself. This is what we're doing. This is what we want to do and plan to do. You know, these are not just talking points. I'm not just saying things that make people feel positive. I can actually show you where your money's going. And I needed the MHA to put in writing that they would protect our rights as gun owners, which they have. And I also needed the MHA to, you know, the MHA needed to be able to say, your money's going to go here and it's not going to go to anti-gun legislation.
There have been a lot of people that feel uneasy about some of the, we'll call them Second Amendment rights organizations. And there's a lot of people, I'll just throw it out there. There's a lot of people that are worried about their money going to the NRA because they feel the NRA may not have the Second Amendment's best interests in mind. But it's nice to know that when you're working with an organization that is not necessarily in the firearms community, they unfortunately have to spend a lot of time in the community because of what people perceive as mental illness with guns. But for someone to sit there and say, look, we understand that not everyone that has a gun is crazy, and we want to preserve and protect your rights as gun owners as much as possible, as long as you start understanding that there are illnesses out there that are real as well. So I think that's a great partnership. What do you hope the WTTA does to the industry? Do you look for future sponsors to help come in with this thing?
We have some.
Oh, great, great.
2 days ago, I just got a awesome donation and partnership from Arms Corps.
Nice.
The guys at Arms Corps, they're in Pahrump. I'm in Vegas, but they're like family to me. I mean, we go to the same functions. We're all at the same shows. Right. They committed to helping financially to the program, so they're part of it. And that's one of the most beautiful things. Like if you were going to buy an Eagle Imports gun because you wanted to help WTTA, and let's say you like the Arms Corps one better, please, by all means, they're in this with me. So, right. You know, I appreciate them for stepping forward and being the first other gun company besides my brands,
right,
to put their money where their mouth is and help out. You know, Gun Vault has been huge. I just had a meeting with them to take it to the next level.
Nice.
See, I plan to get everybody involved in this. I really want the industry to really get behind me. Let me just preface this by saying that nobody in WTTA is paid. Our money has to be tracked because of the 501 C3 status. We don't have any employees, so it's literally me, Rob Pincus, Maria Kernisovic, Kenyon Gleason from NASGW. He's the president of NASGW. John Renzulli, who's a big time lawyer in the industry. Suzanne Lewis, who's she's one of the administrators in Eagle, who's also on the board. One of the hardest working people I know. Colleen Noir, dear friend of mine, and also everyone knows what Collins does for our industry.
That's right.
All of us are doing everything right now. No one's getting any money. We don't have any employees, and we all made a pact that no one takes a dollar for anything or pays an employee for 1 year. So I plan to get everybody on board, because you know what I want to do? I want to give a space to everybody in our industry to look at everybody on the other side, or everybody that alienates themselves from us, and they can go, you know, it's funny, what do you do? Because I'll tell you what we do. Right. We don't just say it's a crazy person with a gun anymore. We stopped actually saying that. We corrected our language because we understood what kind of stigma. But we grew as an industry. Walk Talk America is about doing something. And why don't you put some money up? See, I want to put it on both sides.
Exactly. I love it. I love that. Because it is an issue. And with the way you're going about this, like you said, we're going to try to change our tone, our rhetoric, our message, instead of blaming the crazies and understand all the evil people.
Right.
But they have to understand that also is they use it also. They try to put the gun as the main tool of the evilness, but they also, like you said this morning, a former Marine with a gun that has PTSD. It's all lumped into one sentence. You're throwing the Marine Corps under the bus, or all veterans, basically. You're throwing anyone that has a mental illness, and you're throwing gun owners. In one fell swoop, they alienated the vast majority of this country. Somewhere there's got to be a way to work together to help these people understand that they have help should they want it, should they desperately need it. There are avenues that they can find that will help them that may not be just necessarily going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist or whatever. And I think that's the biggest thing that most mental illness patients have.
It's really gotten to the point where people are just like, I don't understand this. How does this person ruin their life like that? It's like, well, you can't understand it because you're not trapped in their brain.
And they're not trying to do anything. It's just right. They don't know any different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're going to try to do at Walk the Talk, America. We want to get upstream, and we want to start doing these things at an early age, making them socially acceptable. So it's those type of things. We really got to make a change. WTTA is not a gun organization, and people need to understand that. It's a human being, compassionate mental health organization. It just so happens that there's a lot of people from the gun industry that are going to help fund the policies.
And that's okay. That's okay. Because like I said, we started out this whole conversation today was the best thing that we can do as gun owners is to show the rest of America that we are normal people.
Right.
That we aren't the hillbilly gun-toting Jim Bobs from the hills. We're normal everyday people that have normal everyday jobs that normal everyday people are friends with. And we just happen to carry a gun. Tell people how they can get a hold of you. I know that you've got a website, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. Tell people where you guys are to where they can come help or find out more information. I know that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to help out.
Basically, walktotalkamerica.org or WTTA.org. We made it real easy to get to the website, right? Walk the Talk US. That is for our Facebook, that is for our Instagram, and that's for our Twitter, Walk the Talk US. So they can go there and find out all that information. You can also, if you go to Rob Pincus's page, you go to MikeSedini.com. I have a lot of stuff there from my personal page. But that's how you find us. We're very receptive. We actually want to hear your stories. There's links on our website, WTTA.org, where you can go and share your story. I ask everyone right there, right now, to go there and see the story from the gentleman who is a special operations, active duty, read his story. I think it'll resonate with a ton of people. But if you have your own personal story, even if you're not, it's not a military thing. I mean, it could just be a regular story from a regular person about their kid. Share it. We will keep it anonymous unless you want us to put you on there. But I want to hold the MHA accountable and their feet to the fire, just like they're going to hold my feet to the fire if I don't start changing the language of our industry and everything like that. So there's a place you can go do that. You can donate. You know, money. All this stuff is going to go to great causes. And then if you can't even do anything, just share or like or forward anything that we post just to spread the word.
Several of us donated and all that. It's real easy, guys. And there's nothing like you have to donate $1,000 or $100. You could donate a dollar, whatever you can afford. I mean, any dollar will help. The wristbands, the armbands, whatever you want to call them, the bands for the black, they're black, I think, and neon green.
Yeah,
which I think are awesome. Bright colors and all that. Zombie green for those of you out there that are involved in that. But how can people maybe get a hold of some of those to get them distributed through their websites or whatever?
Well, we have them showing up. They should probably be here in about the next 15 days. If someone really wants one, just message us through the website. We will send one out. It's not something we wanted to charge for. We plan to use those things as – we really want to give them out into the schools, but if people want to rock them and kind of support us, we're not going to say no for that. So in the beginning, if you want one, message us, we'll put you on a list. We'll get one out to you. And also too, just so you know, the green stands for Fight in the Open. That's the color of mental health. We're very interactive. We want to talk to people. We want to hear their stories and we want to make things better. I feel more calls from people finding out about this organization. They call me and tell me about the great things they're doing.
Wow.
And I literally collect it. And I'm like, man, that's something that we can get behind you on. You know, that's another thing. You're already awesome. Out there doing something great. Tell me.
All right, kind of off the subject a little bit, but it probably takes on a different meaning. And every guest I have on the podcast, I ask this question, and it has. It's come back with a lot of different meanings. But when you hear the words armed citizen, what do those words mean to you?
You know, if we're just doing word association, I hear armed citizen, I just think of somebody protecting their family. I don't know why. It just this is what pops into my head. I never think of an armed citizen as anything malicious or evil. I think of somebody protecting. That's what I feel it is. You know, be responsible.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand is we've talked about this and you've talked about this on so many different occasions and all that, but the fact that we are just labeled and we are the stereotypes that are put upon gun owners and all of that. They, you know, not all of us are wanting to be John Rambo. Not all of us are wanting to be operators in the open, you know, life and all that. We're not walking around with, you know, tack vests and
right.
helmets and all that. We're dressing normal and then we just happen to carry a gun and we happen to take our responsibility seriously. But, you know, I wish people understood that when they talk about guns in a negative way, they're talking about some people that they don't realize are friends of theirs. And I wish they thought of that, you know. Most of them are referencing the howl at the moon shall not be infringed from my cold dead hands. We're not all that way. Some of us are very logical in our thinking. Some of us are very detailed in the way we want to make sure we say things because we don't want to be pigeonholed, you know, into that crazy gun guy. And so the fact that you've got a guy like yourself who's running a gun company, and you've got someone like Rob Pincus, who's one of the most well-known visual people in the gun industry, and now you're working together with other people for something that is but really isn't a gun issue. It's associated with gun issues, unfortunately, during bad times, but it's not a gun issue. It's a societal issue.
Well, and also too, you know, and this is the danger of what we're doing because we could probably talk all day.
All day, exactly.
but it's things that are triggered too. Now I think about all these Marines that maybe suffer from PTSD that would never hurt a fly.
Right.
Now all day, all they keep hearing is a Marine with PTSD killed. Da, 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 da. And maybe
they definitely might not go and look for help now because they're already labeled.
Yeah. Or just may throw them into the biggest funk. You know what I mean? Like just, you know, now their kid's coming home and they're like, oh, see, this is what I'm saying. It just keeps going and going. This is why we got to have mental health has to be like when we want to lose weight. Like the way we think of our bodies, like get in shape. It's like, I got to get my mind right. We got to start paying attention to our brains. And we also have to stop acting like just because we are gun people, that we're tough and everyone always looks at us like we're tough or, you know what I mean? We're humans with feelings and, you know, we just got to make Earth a better place, man.
I know that you're busy. I know today, especially it's a crazy day and you probably got other commitments you've got to get to. So I'm going to let you go. But Michael, I really do appreciate you coming on. I can't wait to meet you in person in Vegas in January. And if there's anything that we can do or any of my viewers can do, please don't hesitate to ask us because I think that we've got some really cool people that are in the community that would love to help out in any way possible.
No, I appreciate that, Trey. And honestly, like, I'll be super disappointed if we just don't even talk personally before SHOT Show. So,
oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you to the listeners. All the support counts. Believe me, even if it's just the compliments on what we're doing, that's the fuel that kind of keeps me going. I absolutely love hearing that, like, this helps. And I will talk to you whenever you want, man. If you need me to come on or whatever, you know.
Yeah, you can come on whenever you want. Like I said, I would love to have you on. Shoot me a text and say, hey, man, I've got a few minutes tonight. Send me a link and I'll send you a link. And if you just want to hang out and just waste 30 minutes and get dumb and talk guns or whatever, we'd love to have you anytime.
We should do that. I actually, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We are so many different directions we can go.
Well, guys, obviously, I want to thank Michael Cedini for joining the podcast. He brings a different perspective, not only from the gun industry, but the mental illness side of things that we have to fight in our community almost on a daily basis. So thank you to Michael. Please go check out Eagle Imports and obviously go check out Walk the Talk America. You can find it online at www.walkthetalkamerica.org or WTTA.org. Also, make sure you check them out on social media at Walk the Talk US over on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Well, thanks again, guys, for listening, and a big shout out and a big thank you to Michael Cedini for joining us. Guys, make sure you're out there training often, training safely, and training properly. We'll see you next time from the Armed Citizens Podcast. Semper Fi. Thanks for listening to the Armed Citizen Podcast. To check out our full lineup of pro-gun media content, including our product reviews, live shows, and other Second Amendment activity, please check out our website, www.ghosttacticalproductions.com.